Okay, so this is the first meeting after our sojourn in the Quantox. If I'm correct, I've got Conrad Zimmerman with me.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, and Caitlin Cook?
Yep, here.
Awesome. Yeah, brilliant. So, obviously it's a new fiscal year. I believe we closed out the last fiscal year with more NASDAQs than anyone, which is awesome. Real rad job from everyone, except Craig the intern, who is shit. But we've obviously got a few problems. Obviously, right, the big issue is with Dean Kane, who I had in a meeting with me last Thursday. He came in the offices, as he normally does, on a Thursday morning. We had some cognacs. He hasn't worked out the cherry cokes yet, and we were discussing his career. Obviously he wants to do more acting, and I explained to him, I said, Dean for the Last Dinosaur, maybe you should consider your career path outside of acting. And I don't think I'm unfair to say that. Am I unfair to say that?
No, that I think the days of Dean Kane, the actor, are probably over.
Yeah, I think we can all agree that Dean Kane peaked at Rat Race. Are we all on the same page here on that one?
I think so, yeah. If not Maneater, or was it Manhunter? It was one of those films. There was a Wendigo in it. I couldn't follow the plot. It was banal. And I told him that. I said, look, I know you're not a writer, mate, but it was banal. And it doesn't help that a lot of the money from acting goes to Ben Kingsley. He kind of has that sewn up, the whole acting thing. And he got a bit shirty. I mean, how do you tell the man who was on Lewis and Clark that he shouldn't pursue more acting? But I said, look, you're not going to be the first Superman guy who stepped out of the limelight. You know, I'm thinking, of course, about what's-his-face, Christopher Reeve. Like, you don't see him much these days. So, step back in the shadows. Be a performer. Be a performer. Please. And then that's when I suggested to him the idea that really sort of made him kick the leg of my desk. And I said, there are these guys that are impersonators, not like Jeff Dunham. You won't see a stage, Dean. But they go to parties and they look like celebrities. You get people who look like Kirk Douglas, who'll turn up to your party. And people point at them and go, that's Kirk Douglas. No, it's an impersonator. It's an impersonator, Barbara. And I said, he could do that. And I thought, you know, get him to go there. And then everyone tells their guests, the host of the party points at him and says, look, we've got the guy who played the Red Power Ranger. He didn't like it.
Why would you pass on an opportunity like that? That makes no sense to me. Here we have an icon of American television. You know, the Red Power Ranger is long the leader of the organization. He's the face.
People
when it comes
remember
right down
him.
To it. Yes, everybody remembers the Red Power Ranger.
Everybody remembers the guy who played the Red Power Ranger, if not the Red Power Ranger himself. And I tried to explain that to him, and he wouldn't have it. And, you know, I love the boy to death, but...
Yeah, now, Jim, did you bring up the idea of him taking his clothes off for these people? Is this something that would excite him? Did you or did you not? I mean, this could be a big breakthrough for him.
Yeah, look, I realize that you've been pressuring me on that for a few months, and I said I'd bring it up, but I didn't. I know that I will take that on my shoulders. Okay, I blew it there. I didn't suggest that this time. But the guy, he's sensitive about his body. he seems to have some sort of low self-esteem when it comes to his thigh muscles. I don't know what it is. I haven't seen his thigh muscles. Every time I mention it, he gets dark. Like just a dark obsidian almost cloud forms in the room. Not literally.
You could tell he's sensitive about it because he only ever, wanders around in those loose sweatpants. Like, all the time. And they're baggy as hell because he just doesn't want to draw any attention to the definition in his thigh muscles.
Which is ironic because I think he's only got one pair of those. And at the end of the week, you can tell he's been wearing them for a long time. Mm. And the string he's using on the waist does not help.
Is there even elastic in those pants any longer?
I think it's held up entirely by the string.
Mm, yeah, he's in a dark place, Jim.
Yeah. Well, literally, he says his bowl went in his front room. But I'm trying to help him out. That's all I'm saying. We talked about the dog walking gig. I think you brought that up, Conrad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you think about it. Everybody that has a dog needs to have their dog walk. They can't be home to walk them all the time. Dean Cain's not doing anything, right?
Very, very little. He blogs. He told me he blogs. He wouldn't tell me what about.
Right. So why not? If he loves dogs, go find some dogs. Just show up, walk house to house maybe. And just go knock on the door. And if they have a dog, you know how dogs are. You knock on the door, the dog's going to let you know there's a dog there. So, once he knows the dog is there, just has to enter the house. Check under the mat for the key, barring that. Maybe he cracks a window.
Just a little one.
Yeah, just so that he can make it.
A fissure. What we call a tactical fissure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Go get the dog. Walk the dog. You do this 5-6 times. You get a good herd of them going. All up and down the street. And I tell you what. Word's going to spread. People are going to start calling him instantly saying, hey, aren't you the guy that walks dogs?
Undoubtedly. And I really think that, the newspapers will like that. Dean Cain, innovative executive dog walker for hire. I mean, the man will make easily £100. Right. Now, I know every time we have a meeting, we have to bring this up. How are we going to fix Val Kilmer?
I mean, are we trying to solve the unsolvable here? I don't, like, when
it's
is not, enough? When
is it, though? Is it the Fist Shark way to give up on one of our Cleoned Hell?
But the money keeps coming. I just don't see why we should try.
Well, I mean, let's be fair, though. The money keeps coming because he thinks we are a pizza delivery company sometimes. And for a joke, we let him continue to think that. And we get the credit card payments. The pizza never arrives, but he doesn't question it. And I think that's because he's ordering from everyone on his Rolodex. And like a stock clock, several of them are pizza companies and are delivering to him. And then he ends the night satisfied. At this point,
should we just stop offering toppings? Or how are we combating that?
So far, I have not put an agenda in place to combat that.
Anchovies haven't put him off yet.
Not at all. To be honest, the things he's ordering are... I don't want to use the word eldritch, but they're not making sense anymore. We've got Craig the intern. He is taking those orders. And then obviously just, he notes them down because he method acts. So he is taking note of the orders, but he normally just throws them away. But I did sort of ask to take some, and I looked through, and there's a lot of talk about skin. I don't know why. I don't know what he's going to do with it, but it's difficult. And that's part of the problem. Val Kilmer's not making a lot of sense. And when we bring him in for a meeting, I don't know whether he's talking about his acting career or a ritual of some kind that he's planning for. Either way, I don't think the public's warming to him like they did when he was the man who was the Batman.
Can we talk about his mass? Like, that's got to be the first step, right? I mean, the last time I looked at him, I honestly thought he was auditioning for a role as the Michelin Man.
Well, you know, I'm not a body shamer myself. I'm a husky gentleman.
No, I understand. I mean,
obviously, I'm not trying to squeeze into a bat suit. And when he did that, you know,
right?
Not in my office again.
But he used to be chiseled features, and now he's
Well, I mean, that's
all smooth edges.
John Candy, we've always known as the lovable roly-poly Uncle Buck dog from Star Wars that he was, God rest his soul.
That's true. But if you look at him today, really thinned out. Really thinned out.
Yeah, and Val Kilmer, in many ways, is the anti-John Candy.
Just slowly swelling over time.
And it's a shame. I think what we really need to do, though, is perhaps just give him a little good old-fashioned fake controversy. If not controversy, at least sort of give him something trendy that the people are talking about. Now, I know we don't like to dip into this well too much, but there is the gay thing. And I know it's overplayed. I know it's overdone. Have an actor come out. And you know, it worked for Dog the Bounty Hunter. But
it just barely makes a wave most of the time now.
You are right.
You'd have to keep... like, maybe if we got him into professional sports first and then had him come out.
Well, I mean, that ain't gonna fucking happen.
Look, no! Jim, we tried this with Ellen Page. It just didn't seem to go over very well.
I'm confused there with the Ellen Page thing, because I only found out about that yesterday. She came out a while ago, right?
Yeah, a few months.
Yeah, but I still find her attractive. Does that make me gay? I don't know how that works.
Scientifically, yes. No, I think that that was the point of us doing that. We wanted more people to jump on the gay train. So if we do the same thing with Val Kilmer, I don't know if are we hurting ourselves here?
We've shot ourselves in the foot. We've made most of America gay now. And
God,
therefore,
I gotta call my wife.
Well, after the meeting, come on. Yeah, the Val Kilmer thing isn't gonna cut it if that's where we leave it. But we're fish out marketing. We were made to evolve like the shark. And actually, I don't think the shark is an evolved. I think,
I don't think
it genetically
evolved it millions of years.
It's like
I think
crocodile
it's
in that regard. Yeah. Well, we're a shark that evolves, which makes it even more special. Let's take the base idea, build up on it. What about pederasty? I realize it's controversial, but controversy may be what goes in our favor. Here's what I'm thinking. Now hear me out, right? Val Kilmer, pederast for the 20th century. It's not been done before on that big a scale.
He's the guy that we're going to bring forth to be the progressive face of pederast.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
The modern pederast man.
Yeah. Now, who's that guy who played that kid in Terminator 2 Judgment Day?
Ed Furlong.
Ed Furlong. Brilliant. Call up his people, find out if he's still a kid, and then see if he wants to have a photo shoot in a bathtub with Val.
Ed Furlong, Val Kilmer in a bathtub together. I like it.
He might be a little bit too young at this point. Should we shoot even younger, or maybe it's more sophisticated if we get somebody, you know, mid-teens?
Yeah, I don't think we want to aim too young. We're not monsters.
Well, what's Shirley Temple doing these days? So, Feldman came around the office last week.
He's a recent signee, and I'm very proud that we've got him.
No, I'm excited about him, but I don't think he understands what we do here.
Right.
because
like, you gave him the brochures.
Yeah, I gave
the introductory VHS.
Yeah, I gave him all of the material, but he just sort of comes in and hangs around in the lobby. And, you know, as I'm leaving, he's like, hey, you know, gestures me over and like says, hey man, you want to go get some pornog? I didn't even know what he meant at first. Like I was,
yeah.
Pornog.
Hold on 1 second. Let me Google that for a second because I want to make sure we're on the same level here. I'm going to use, it's a new website, google.com.
This is like that Christmas beverage. He wants.
See, now I thought it was some kind of new electronic music.
Okay.
You know, that's something that was playing in the clubs.
Well, I don't want to alarm anyone, but the Urban Dictionary says that pornog is the jargon term for the word pornography.
Right. That's what I came to find out after he dragged me to the rail yard.
Right.
I started sifting through trash cans and looking under benches.
Are you sure? Are you sure he wasn't looking for eggnog, though? This is not eggnog.
No, because he got real excited when he found like a 6-month-old copy of Hustler. And the urine reek coming off of these pages would clear any size room, but you know, he shoved it right in his back pocket like it was no big thing.
Didn't deter him.
No.
Well, that's that kind of sort of Feldman determination that Fisher wanted when we signed him on. So that's good, but it is disconcerting that he would do that. And this actually makes sense now, considering when I signed him, he insisted that I go into sort of a corner store, convenience store, and buy. He didn't call it pornog. He called it what was it? Jazz. He wanted a jazz mag from the top shelf, and I didn't know what that was. I came out with a copy of NME, and he got really upset. But if he's after, like, it can. He does realize that you can get pornographic material sort of more conveniently than ever. I don't know why he's going to railway stations and convenience stores and sending other people in to get stuff for him as well. That worries me.
Well, I mean, you know, you don't want to. He certainly doesn't want to be seen buying pornography. So I could understand sending you in for it, but you'd think he could just ask for a tit mag or something, mm-hmm. you know, or at least be specific. Have a title, you know, say you want the latest issue of Beaver Hunt. How hard is that?
Yeah, he was very angry with Craig when Craig came in with those like butt mags. He was not happy about that.
Yeah, apparently Feldman's not an ass man.
No, like I picked that up. He seems actually like actively against them philosophically. So, one of the things I really wanted to close out the agenda with this week was some really excellent news. Chungus Brow Branding has offered us the account for its new range of fanny packs.
Oh my god, this is amazing. Great work, Jim.
You know, it wasn't just me, obviously. You know, Kate, you had the CEO out to dinner and everything, and I know he made you feel very uncomfortable, but you're a trooper. You didn't speak up for yourself, which is obviously what we told you not to do.
Well, it's in our handbook, and you know me in handbooks, so...
Yeah, you really do follow that with ruthless efficiency, and you know, we love you for it, and, you know, he walked away getting what he wants. You walked away getting what we want, and that's all that matters at the end of the day is to close that sale. So, fanny packs. Obviously, there's a bit of a stigma attached to them. They're seen as somewhat uncool since the 90s, somewhat tragic rather than trendy. But we're gonna bring that back. We really want to put the life back into them. So, fanny packs, I don't see what the problem with them is. You have them around your waist, they're bright yellow or bright green, whatever you want, really. And the best thing about this range, we're really going for artisan fanny packs here. Like, the quality of the molding, the material, the hempen material is off the chart. And they're using a new thing called Elastisprout, which lines it and it keeps things fresh. You can actually store food in a fanny pack now. You can put a full sandwich in there. And some people have reported a chemical taste and a darkening of the tongue. But our scientists say it's mostly edible, the food that comes back out. So we're going to push on that. This is like a portable food solution. And we're going to have a whole range of them. Fanny packs for the wrist. Little fanny packs. You can keep your smartphone in there, around the neck, the fanny collar. There's a lot you can do. One particular idea that I'm very proud of that we had the boys in the lab come up with was take the original blueprint for the fanny pack, make the pack bigger, attach two straps to it, and have it on your back. The fanny back.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Oh, I like that. Right? You know where the market for this would be, for these kinds of lines of products would be really ripe.
Schools.
And I'll tell you why. Kids lose shit.
They lose so much shit.
And if they just had something that was attached to them. I mean, haven't we all heard, you know, you'd lose your head if it wasn't attached?
Mm-hmm. As Robin Thicke proved in those allegations that we can't talk about. But yeah, sorry, continue.
That's what we need to do. We need to centralize everything and put fanny backs on these kids. And then maybe we can come up with a design that once they attach it to them, it becomes, you know, like a permanent part of their body. Like, I don't know, like some sort of non-retractable blades on the straps.
Mm-hmm.
Sink in to the flesh and just create a hook grip so that they can't even take the bag off and then lose it.
Well, yeah, I mean, these are going to be, the prototype runs at about anywhere between $5,000 to $6,000. So these are expensive designer items. We don't want them lost.
And, well, they have to keep their valuables protected. I mean, these kids, they've got their trapper keepers.
They've got their yo-yos.
Their colored pencil. I mean, we can't have them lose that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do pencils now with erasers on the end. So,
oh my God, that's,
I mean, I can't, the R&D that must have went into that, I see why they sell them in a markup, but we do need to protect this, and I do think perhaps on the straps, some form of barb or talon is a perfect way of keeping those things attached. And some people might say the kids won't want that. They won't want designer items quite literally biting into their supple pink flesh. But it's all in the marketing, baby.
They don't want vegetables either, you know?
No.
But we show them why that's important and why there's a value there, and we can sell this. Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing I've learned is you can sell a kid anything if you make it cool on a kid's level. And I've been working with some of the guys, particularly our animators in Slatovania, and they've come up with this wonderful idea. A superhero for a Saturday morning kid show about a crime fighter who solves mysteries and brings evildoers to justice with the help of fanny packs. Strapped to his all over him. We're talking like Casey Jones in Turtles. Around he's got all, like, the whole thing. The fanny back, the wrist fanny pack, one round the head, the fandana. He's got a fanny back on. He's got them strapped to his thighs, knees, and ankles. And inside them are like blades and glaives and guns, which he uses to stab, shoot, and torture and mutilate enemies of America.
This is brilliant, because now it allows us to show all of the different ways in which fanny packs can be used and all of the different things you could carry with them. Plus, it makes it easy for the writers, because invariably, if he's going to need something in a situation, it's in one of his fanny packs.
In one of them, you know, enhance your life. Have a better way of living with a fanny pack. Just listen to America's newest superhero, Manny Pack.
I love it.
I think we've got a winner. Fist Shark Marketing, R. Jim Sterling, K. Caitlin Cook and Conrad Zimmerman. Segway music by Alizar Chand. Title music, some random stuff I picked up off a royalty-free music site. Please follow us at Fist Shark Marketing on Twitter. No, it's just Fist Shark, at Fist Shark. And you can follow us at Jim Sterling, at Conrad Zimmerman, and at Caitbit, C-A-I-T-B-I-T. That's how that works. Thank you for listening, and give us a review on iTunes if you liked our rubbish or not.
You know how dogs are. You knock on the door, the dog's going to let you know there's a dog there.
Sorry.